Let's get into the Word today. Open up to the book of Hosea. Hosea, and I'll let you go to your Old Testament. There's the hint. It's in the Old Testament. If you can find Ezekiel, then you find Daniel, then you find Hosea. And then you find Joel. Then Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Anyway, so go find it. Hosea chapter 4. Title of the message today is Informed and Thankful. Informed and Thankful. You know this verse, and there's a principle outlined here in verse number 6 that it's important that you see this and hear it. My people, the Lord's talking, my people are destroyed or cut off for lack of knowledge. Have you ever heard of somebody saying, you know, you're going to be cut off? What does that mean? Come on. Okay, parents, what does that mean when a child turns a certain age and you say, well, now your allowance is cut off? What does that mean? You're on your own. Or somebody says, you know, that perk is being cut off. That means it's going to come to a halt. Stop. No more. Okay? My people are destroyed or cut off. Cut off from what? From the blessings of God. For a lack of knowledge. That's terrible. But look at that. My people are destroyed or cut off for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. How does knowledge come? Knowledge comes as we study. Amen? Study is important. One of the signs of the latter days is that there will be an increase in knowledge. The book of Daniel speaks of that. So knowledge will increase. And knowledge is important. However, make a note of this. The ones with the most knowledge are not necessarily the ones with the most faith. Faith is not knowledge. Hear me. Otherwise, the person who could memorize the most scripture would have the most faith automatically, and that is not true. How does faith come, Sharon? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. You love that verse, don't you? So do I. I mean, that verse, it's like, okay, praise God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the spoken word of God, the rhema of God. We read the logos. We study the logos. The logos is the way it is. That's the written word. Then we hear the Holy Spirit make commentary on it in our lives. And that's where the faith is built. Because, like I said, if all you do is study it and read it, and gain knowledge from it, but never meditate on it, there's never any faith pulled out of it. It's not automatic like you just, I mean, for crying out loud, you know, if I sit and put my head on the Bible, do I get faith by osmosis? No. I'm resting on the Word. If I stand on my Bible, does that mean I'm standing on the Word? Well, in one sense of the word, but not really. You might be crushing that nice leather Bible, but that doesn't mean you're really standing in the respect of holding fast to what that word says. There are people that can cite to you scripture after scripture after scripture, and if faith was dynamite, they don't have enough to blow their nose. Amen. Amen. Let that picture sink in for a moment. Kapow! Yeah. My people are destroyed or cut off for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. We are called as kings and priests. Amen? Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So it is passed down. The other day, Austin and I were talking, and how many of y'all remember a band in the 70s named Chicago? Anybody know? Make Me Smile. 25 or 6 to 4, you know? Some of you guys remember that, right? Well, they had a guitarist who was, In fact, he sang the Make Me Smile. I believe it was him that sang that. And but he enjoyed target shooting. And so all of us that have guns need to perk up here and listen for a moment. And he was, you know, he had a number of guns, and because of the fame of the band, they were one of the top bands in the world at that time and had a lot of hits. You know, it was a big band, and you talk about tight. Those guys were good, really good. Now, this man was a lead guitarist, and he did, you know, some of the vocals and all that, and the guy was primo on the guitar. And he liked to do target shooting, and so he had weapons, guns. And they had been at a bandmate, one of the people in the band who helped with the setup and takedown and all that kind of thing, at their house. And anyway, he pulled out one of his revolvers that he had and was spinning it on his finger and, you know, and pulled it up and did this and click, you know, there's nothing in it, just joking around, knowing that the gun was empty. And it messed up a lot of the people there. They were like, hey, whoa, what are you doing? You know, you could get hurt. I mean, it's not, don't mess around, don't play around. So he pulled out a 9mm and he popped the mag out. How many of y'all know anything about if you have a mag in your gun, what may have happened if you racked one? There's one in the chamber, right? And he goes, look, I took the mag out. He called it a clip. It's really a magazine. I took the mag out. What do you think I'm going to do? Kill myself? Bam. And it was over. And that's a horrible thing. A horrible thing. But it was all based on, he had a lack of knowledge about how that firearm worked. What's the first thing, men, ladies, what's the first thing you do when you see or pick up a gun? Check it out, right? What do you consider that gun to be? Every gun you pick up or touch, I don't care if it's at the store or whatever, you've got, you know, it's like, unless they have something run through it, and even then, if I pick one up, I'll rack it back and look. Are you kidding me? You pop the cylinder out and make sure there's nothing, make sure there's not one in the chamber. Many a person has been accidentally shot because they didn't take time. They didn't really know how the thing functioned. A pump shotgun, there could be one in the chamber, even though you empty some out of the tube. I mean, you can do that, but there could be one in the chamber. You've got to be careful. A lack of knowledge caused this man to lose his life. And there's no playing around with guns, period. Okay? I am an advocate of using firearms and being safe with them. I have weapons. I have guns. I do carry. And most of you know that. But it's a big deal to be safe with it. And, you know, I don't apologize for carrying. I know a lot of well-known preachers. They all carry. Just in case you were wondering. So it's not a bad thing. Who knows what the Second Amendment is? Come on, is anybody? You're throwing spaghetti at the wall again here. It's slipping down. No. Hold on a minute. It's Second Amendment is that right to bear arms. Amen. So it is a right. But with the church. And I remember years ago, there was a band called Petra. And we liked Petra. We'd go to the Petra concerts, and they were a famous Christian rock band and good songs. I mean, you can still find them on the internet. They're still playing, actually. Some of them have gotten back together and are playing. And John Schlitt was the singer, and Bob, what was Bob's name? Lead guitar? Huh? Hartman, yeah. Wrote some good songs. One of them was called The Sleeping Giant. Well, it was called Wake Up Call. That's what it was. And that song talked about the church being this sleeping giant. What was the show, the movie, the fairy tale? Gulliver's Travels? where the little guys all tied the giant down to the ground. I remember when I was a kid seeing that. And then the giant gets up. And well, the church has been a sleeping giant in the earth. And it's all based on a lack of knowledge. The church is caught in a position of not knowing their covenant rights. And it shouldn't be that way. You're destroyed, the Bible says, cut off for a lack of knowledge. But then some have taken it and they go, as long as I get more knowledge, then I'm the one with the most faith. And that's not right. And it's not a competition anyway. But the fact is, knowledge is necessary so that you can appropriate by faith the things that you have coming. The most powerful entity, if you will, or people group, I'll say it that way, the most powerful people group in the world, bar none, is the body of Christ. You realize that? It's not the Marines. It's not the Army. It's not this country or that country or the other. It's the body of Christ. The body of Christ. But the body of Christ has been very, very guilty of being lazy. And laziness tends to poverty, does it not? Amen. Laziness tends to poverty, but it also tends to ignorance. A lazy person will not dig things out and find out things that they have coming. I've heard stories of people that one man got onto a ship and spent the whole time, it was on a trip from overseas here to the States, and spent time down in like a cargo area or whatever, and never did bother to check his ticket. He just knew he was supposed to be on that boat, so he assumed it was, you know, the cheapest seats, you know what I'm saying. And one day, I'm not sure who it was, a porter or somebody on the ship wanted to see the ticket for some reason, and he was supposed to be in the first class area. All along, you know, not just doing without, when it was already all paid for, he was supposed to be sitting at the captain's table, for crying out loud, and he's over in the corner eating, you know, what he could get. Ignorance is not a good thing. Ignorance will stop you. Ignorance will cause you to be cut off. So you need to get knowledge, and with knowledge comes an awareness of what is yours. Then you need to meditate on that. And by meditating on it, faith will begin to come and rise in you. Revelation on what you've heard. It's important what you hear, of course. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But at the same time, you have to ask the Holy Spirit what he has to say about what I said. That's where revelation is built. And that's when faith begins to be developed in you. Revelation is very, very. Otherwise, memorization would get it. All you'd have to do is memorize a bunch of scripture, and you'd automatically have faith, and you'd automatically be strong in your faith. And we know good and well that's not true, right? Yeah. Who knows that that's true? Just memorizing scripture. There are sinners that memorize scripture or have memorized scripture. There are people that don't even know Jesus. There was a man that, a preacher I know of, Roy Blizzard is his name, and a Hebrew scholar. And he said he knows of people in Israel that can quote to you books of the Old Testament, quote to you, and they're not even born again people. Hear me. So, just because somebody can quote something, just because somebody has some knowledge of the scripture, doesn't mean that they actually have received faith. Amen. Okay. So the church is only going to operate in authority and power based on their faith in the written word of God. Now, how much of the Bible does the church believe? That's a good question. How much of the Bible does the church believe? It should be the entirety of it. Amen. But you know yourself. People pick and choose. They have favorite scriptures. I'm not going to say I don't have a favorite scripture or two, you know, that I really have gravitated toward and learned early on. One of them is Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of y'all know that verse? You know that verse, don't you? But what that tells me is he's the same. In other words, if he healed the Bible, he'll heal today. If he prospered somebody in the Bible times, he'll do that today because he's the same. So that covers a lot of ground, and that was one of the things that I found out very early. He's the same. He didn't change. The blessings have not been pulled aside and pulled back, and he's saying, you know, I don't want you to have anything. I don't want to heal anymore. I can't heal anymore. That all ended with the death of the last apostle, don't you know? Calvinism says that. Well, Calvinism was wrong and is wrong. Amen. So my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So if believers do not know their covenant rights given to them, they will be cheated out of a long list of things that they should be enjoying. Can I hear an amen? 3 John 2, you have your Bible, turn over there right quick. 3 John, that's right before the book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. This is the third last book in the Bible. 3 John, verse 2. Actually, read verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Do you see that? Beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul or your mind, your will, and your emotions prosper. So hold it a minute. This kind of covers two major areas that people deal with and have problems with, health and prosperity. Does it not? I wish or I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health. Do you see that? Now, let me look here. Down in the chapter, or it's actually the book, look at verse 11. What does verse 11 say? Now, he just got through saying, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, or to the same degree that you're prospering in your thoughts. In other words, renewing your mind with the word. Look at verse 11. Beloved. He's talking to, this is written to Christians, y'all. Look at verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Stop right there. Don't follow what's evil. He just told them he wanted them to prosper and be in health, and now he's telling them, don't follow what's evil. You really think he's saying prosperity is evil? No, he's saying don't follow that which is evil. But that which is good, he that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. It's all in the letter. It's all there in this book. He wants his people to prosper. There's nothing wrong with it. But if a person doesn't know that, they'll be cut off. What about peace? John 14, verse 27, Jesus said it this way. Go ahead and turn there if you'd like. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, and right now is a key time for you and I to grab a hold of this because there's a lot of unrest in the country. Have you noticed? I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on. John 14, verse 27, peace, Jesus said. He just got through saying that famous verse, verse 26. I love this one. The Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, mark that down. The Holy Spirit's the teacher, not the devil. You can learn from circumstances, but God's not the one who's trying to teach you by putting sickness on you. We went through that the other night. We looked at that on Wednesday night. But it's very, very important that you understand that right on the heels of that, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you. So the Lord wants us to be walking in peace. How many of y'all have felt the time when you were not walking in peace? And things seemed really jumbled and jambled and you were rattled. And your life seemed out of order. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not peace. He promised peace. We know what the word has to say about us receiving this peace. So, hey, look, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, right there. Well, to the person that doesn't know that, they'll think, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? Look what we've got going in Washington. Look at the price of things. Look at the gas prices have skyrocketed. What about my retirement funds? What about this? What about that? How's this ever going to change? It looks like the country's heading toward communism. Well, I've got news for the country. Now, I don't say this lightly. I say it with every bit of conviction and every bit of faith. This country will never be a communist nor a socialist nation, period. End of discussion. But the church has something to do with that. And the church sits back and lets things just go on, and you've got weak-kneed preachers that again, are afraid to say anything. They're sitting back, scared. I'm going to lose my job. They'd be better to kiss their job goodbye and answer a calling if it's really there. Your knees were shaking. Yeah, that was the preachers whose knees are shaking. God is a faith God. God is a God who honors faith. You find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, that, look, he said, the word said there, the writer of the book of Hebrews put it this way, for it is impossible to please God without faith. Do you hear me? Impossible. Everybody wants to be pleasing to God, but you can't please him if you don't have faith. How do you get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You get into the word. So those that don't have any faith will never be pleasing to the Lord and will not be able to receive from God, because God is the God who has given us the ability to have faith. I mean, he planned it that way. You know, he said in how many places in the Word of God, by your faith be it done unto you. By your faith. By your faith. We are not discounting your faith and saying your faith doesn't matter. Your faith matters a lot. Your faith is the determining factor if you're going to receive from God or not. His faith purchased all of what we have in the covenant. The faith of Christ purchased everything that we have. But your faith has to believe in what the faith of Christ did. If it was just about his faith receiving for me, I wouldn't have to have any. But see, his faith, he set an example. He set an example for us to walk by. And he walked by faith, and he showed us how to walk, how to live. And you and I are to get into the word, hear the word, let the Holy Spirit develop faith in us. And then it's said of us, by your faith be it done unto you. Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, it's like, well, now wait a minute. What if I don't have much faith? Then you're one of those who's destroyed. Pastor, God doesn't want that. No, he doesn't want it. So get after it. Get into the word. Get serious about your Christianity. There's a separation time coming in this country. The real from the phony. You know, if it's all about skinny jeans and fog machines, you've heard that. I'm not against skinny jeans. Well, sort of. No, I'm not. I don't care if you want to wear them. You know, it's your business. I just think it's funny when an old man wears really skinny jeans. And I've got some that are narrower, but then I put on a pair of those 560s. I had some that y'all know what those are, and they're like, I got a bag behind me here. You know, like feels kind of weird. But Austin's like, Dad, those are too. Hey, I'm going to Lowe's. I don't see any, guys in Lowe's going, hey, man, your pants are baggy, you know. Did you see these I got today? You know, it's like, why do women do that, ladies? Why do you do that? Did you see my new belt? Okay. I'll qualify this. Well, you walk in with a new hat on, and one of the ladies goes, I love that hat, Elnora. You don't go, that's a piece of junk. I don't need it here. You want it? You go, thank you. Or you'll say to somebody, that's a pretty top you have on. You know what? I don't remember ever saying to Larry, Larry, boy, man, nice looking. You know what I'm saying. I'm not going to do that. Although I recognize nice stuff when I see it and all, and there are some things I like and some things I don't like, but the fact of the matter is, we don't go around, you know, when we're in the bathroom and stand in front of the mirror washing your hands and, oh, look at this. It's like, people will think, you need the devil cast out of you, man. Crazy, weird stuff. Yeah. So, all right, let's get back to what we're saying here. In America, Christians need to arise. For too long, Christians have been sitting back and saying Christians ought not to be involved in the government in any way, shape, or form. And that's a lie. The Bible says that the government is to rest upon the shoulders of the church. It's in the book of Isaiah. The church, well, it speaks of the coming one. I believe it's where, chapter 7, is it? And the government will rest on his shoulders about the Son, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Okay? Who's the Son? Is Jesus the Son? Yes. That's who it's speaking of. It's a prophetic word. And the government will rest on his shoulders. Hey. The church needs to be involved in politics. We need Christians in the political arena. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So here, listen to this. This is the definition of the word constitution. The constitution is a system of fundamental laws and principles that prescribes the nature, functions, and limits of a government or another institution. It is the supreme law of the U.S., consisting of the document ratified by the original 13 states in the year 1787 through 1790, the Constitution. How many of y'all had classes in school, in high school, or maybe later on? They used to call it civics. They called it governments. We had government. Anybody have that? Did you have any of that? You know, nowadays, a lot of this is not being taught. And people are not hearing, young people are growing up not knowing how the government really is to function. And the Constitution outlines it. The Constitution tells us how it is supposed to be run. And if you take a look at the way things are today, you come up in a hurry, and you'll see in a hurry things are not running the way they're supposed to be run. I got to looking last night as I was putting all this down. It's interesting. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that judges, and in particular on the Supreme Court, are there for a lifetime. Do you know that? It's not there. It is not there. Now, what it does say is that those judges that are placed on the Supreme Court can remain there as long as they are in good behavior. Uh-huh. One was impeached years back, a long time ago, probably 1700s, early 1800s, whenever it was, but for profanity, another for blasphemy, one for withholding evidence that should have been presented in a trial. Impeached. So who tells people nowadays that it's an automatic lifetime thing? Not the Constitution, I can tell you that. The commentary on it said most of the time it's judges that say that. Surprise, surprise. Well, now, I mean, that could lead to a real problem. Well, here's another thing that a lot of people don't know about from the Constitution, that the three areas of government or the three branches of government, can anybody name them? We've got the legislative and executive. Legislative, let's list them in order of power, because this is not understood either. The legislative is the most powerful branch. That's the Congress and the Senate. Then the executive branch, the president. Then the judicial. The judicial is by far the weakest of the three. And that's so that judges cannot turn political. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because we're seeing things in America right now that don't line up with the Constitution. Just like if you don't know the Constitution, you can be fooled. If you don't know the Word of God, the devil can fool you regarding healing. Oh, it's not my will that you be healed. And make it sound like it's God telling you that. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? Well, regarding the Constitution, regarding the laws in the country, what does the Constitution say? Now, a lot of people don't want the Constitution. What's amazing to me is the Constitution was put in place to stop people from stripping away rights of the citizens. We are not a democracy. You know that. A lot of people would say, you ask people and they'll say, well, we're a democracy. No, in a democracy, the majority rules and they can change the rules anytime they want. That's a democracy. In a republic, which is what the United States is, there are inalienable rights that are guaranteed no matter who is in charge. And we have representatives that represent us on a federal level and here at the state. And the states have a lot more power than people understand or perceive. There are some people, possibly even in here in this church, that don't like our governor. Well, I'll tell you right now, our governor is acting as a firewall between us and the federal overreach that's going on from Washington. And you and the church, the churches, well, I guess the churches in other states, but the states that don't have governors that will stand up to this unconstitutional junk they're trying to throw at us, they're trying to strip away your rights. And it's a slow boil, guys. You know what I mean by that? You know the old story, you put a frog in a pot of water and turn it up, slowly boil him, he'll get comfortable in it. And he'll get comfortable until the point that it's too late, and then he's dead. You trying to scare us, Pastor Dan? No, I'm trying to tell you to wake up. We need to look at the Constitution and know what our constitutional rights are. The first 10 amendments in the Constitution are called the Bill of Rights. Amen? Amen. Called the Bill of Rights. Amendment number one guarantees us what? Freedom of speech, right? The Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And that doesn't mean so that you can, you know, go around and flash your gun at folk and call them out. That's not it. People were given the right to bear arms in case the government tried to do what the English government did to the people that came here to establish this country in the first place. So one of the first things that governments do that try to overtake the people and turn it from a republic to a straight-up democracy, if you will, is take their weapons. Happened in Germany, happened just recently. All the weapons in Australia were confiscated. They had those people on lockdown. Did you see some of the video of people being beaten because they're outside without a mask on in their own yard? Yes. I mean, it's Gestapo tactics. You can't sit back and go, well, that's okay. It'll never happen here. I'm believing it's not going to happen here, but it's also going to be because people have knowledge of what their rights are. You have to know what your rights are. If you don't know what your rights are, anybody can fool you. The president cannot stand up and give a mandate from some speech and suddenly it becomes law. That's not the way it works. Who makes the laws? The legislative branch makes the laws. There are emergency things that come up, and that's where they've tried to put all this stuff. It's an emergency. Well, it has a long process to go through before it can become a law. But a lot of people are like, oh, I got to listen. I got to do what they tell me. Are you encouraging civil disobedience? I'm encouraging constitutional obedience. That's what I'm encouraging. And if they don't like it, they can get out of this country, frankly. Amen. The Constitution is there to protect us, not to be shredded by some person who has a misguided understanding about how life ought to be. The Founding Fathers, and you find this in the Federalist, the papers. Some of y'all have read some of that already. You know, and I'm like, wow, man, I mean, there's a lot there for us to look at. The Third Amendment was the not, you didn't have to have military housed on your property. If you didn't want military, that was what the Third Amendment was about, and kind of an interesting one. The fourth was regarding illegal search and seizure, I believe. And then the right to privacy or the freedom of choice was the Ninth Amendment. This is all under the Bill of Rights. You have freedom of choice. You realize that? You know, the Bible gives you freedom of choice, does it not? I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. I'm going to give you the answer, but it's still your choice. You can choose to live like a fool and reject Jesus and not get in the Word and stay away from godly folk and stay away from godly living and all that and think you're going to make it by the seat of your pants. You will lose. Period. But the choice is yours. Come on, smart guy, smart gal, make your choice. I mean, the older I get, the bolder I get with stuff like that. I told a guy the other day, he was talking to me about how cool it was, you know, go out and get his $2 margaritas. I'm like, man, that must be some cheap rum or whatever. Or tequila, I'm sorry, whatever it is. And so he said, well, they're really, you like those. I said, I haven't had a margarita for 42 years, probably, whatever it is. And I said, no. I said, and I just basically just took his little testimony about all the great things he's doing and fun he's having and just went and smiled at him the whole time. And he didn't know it. It was kind of like that slow boil. He didn't really know that I was calling him stupid. But I was doing it in love and doing it not to hurt his feelings, but yet to give him the truth, okay? Can I hear an amen? That's important. You need to put the truth out, but you don't need to hurt people with it. So in the same way that believers need to know their rights based on the New Testament, citizens in the U.S. need to know their rights according to the Constitution. There's way too much ignorance about the Constitution, about your right to freedom, freedom of choice, freedom of speech. They can't come along and tell you you have to choose this. That's why this jab business, it's not constitutional, guys. It's not, period. If you want to take it, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But if you don't want to take it, that's fine too. That's your constitutional freedom of choice. Amen. What, you know, I said it early on when all this telling us we had to wear this and wear that and put the mask on and do this, do that. And I'm like, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I also want it understood. I have a choice. And I have a choice not to go into that business if they demand that. There were some businesses in town that did not say you had to wear a mask during the pandemic. And they stayed open the whole time. And I was talking to one of the owners. And he said, you know, had we been in California, we would be out of business. No doubt about it. And they said, you know, they were very nice to us and said, no, we trust you guys. No, I mean, if you're not feeling well, you're not going to come in here. I said, exactly. All I wanted understood was I have freedom of choice. What are you going to do? Come along, tell me now I have to wear saddle shoes? I don't have anything about saddle shoes. But everybody's going to wear saddle shoes. Presidential mandate, you're going to wear saddle shoes. Mm-mm. You can't wear a hat anymore. You will not wear this. That's what dictatorships do. We are a republic and we have choices, and you need to know that you have choices and you have freedom of that choice. Amen? I haven't preached anything like this of late. I know that, but I want it very clear where I stand on all of this stuff. This is a free nation. We live in a free country. My dad fought to keep this country free. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to sit back and let some wimpy little pants dragging on the floor, butt hanging out of the pants, little punk tell me how we're going to run this country. That's not going to happen. Okay. He said butt. What's the bottom of a rifle called? got it. So, how are we going to end this thing? We're going to do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, we're heading toward Thanksgiving, right? So all I brought out was some of that constitutional stuff to say to you that you have to be informed of some other things. Most Christians are very ignorant of what the Constitution says. Okay, I'm no scholar about it, okay? But I do have some basic understanding that I have some rights that cannot be taken from me, period. And I don't care who says it. Amen. They'll arrest you. Yeah, right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 reads this way. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, we should be thankful. We should be thankful that the Lord has not changed. Amen? He has not changed. Our Constitution is in place, and there's a severe attack against it. The Word is given to us. He has not changed. His Word has not changed. We need to hold fast to what we believe and what we know. Now, the thing is, we're supposed to be thankful in everything. Notice it did not say F-O-R, everything. It did not say for everything. In everything, give thanks. All right? It's time for us as believers to hit our knees for the nation. And you say, well, I don't agree with the administration that's there. Well, neither do I. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. And I surely don't want to see this country go to hell. Amen? But so what we are believing for is that revelation of the truth will be brought forth. We will pray for the leadership. I'm praying, when I pray for the president that the Lord recognizes is the president of this country. That's how I pray. And if it happens to be the one that's residing at 1600 Pennsylvania right now, then so be it. But if it's the one who's hanging out in Florida, then so be that. I'm going with the one God recognizes. I have a strong feeling of who he recognizes in all of this. Man, you are really political today. The church has been afraid to talk about politics. It's afraid to talk about sex. Afraid to talk about the things they need to talk about. Because after all, there has to be separation of church and state, don't you know? Another misunderstanding. And they come along and try to scare you that you'll lose your 501c3 if you do this or you do that, and you say this, say that, and you know, like our president, Trump, made sure that was in place where that couldn't happen. So you know that those that don't want this kind of stuff going on are going to come against that. We know that. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. So look at, you see the verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in the middle of all of this junk, we need to be praying. We need to take authority over the devil. We need to stand against what he's trying to do in this nation. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me see. I wrote it. All right. Wrong book. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We are called to pray for people whether we like them or not, whether we like it or not. And I would say that, you know, in the midst of the definition, go ahead, stand to your feet, of love includes like. Love is greater than like, right? But then love is also, would have to come even before like. Somebody say, well, no, wait a minute, I just don't like them. I love them. But no, hold it. How can you not like somebody that you really love and would lay your life down for? I didn't say I'd lay my life down. Then you don't love them with the love of God. If I don't like somebody, there's a little bit of something there that's not right. Well, amen, Pastor Dan. Anyway, so we need to... we need to pray for the country. Let's just get into a moment of prayer, because we can say what we want. My devotion this morning was saying, you know, it's easy to badmouth the nation. You need to pray for the nation. You need to pray for the people that are in Congress and in the Senate and all that. Things are out of order right now. I'll give you that. But at the same time, the word doesn't change. And he said we're supposed to pray for him. So let's do that right now. Bow your head with me and let's go before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do not necessarily agree with everything that we see happening in Washington. Of course, that's a given. But Father, we do agree with your word. And your word tells us to stand in the gap, to pray for those that are in positions of leadership. And Father, there are those that are being played of the enemy, I know that. But there are also those that are teetering back and forth on listening to you and doing the right thing, or giving in to the will of the flesh and the devil. So we today, we agree in the name of Jesus for our nation to experience a serious awakening. And beginning in the government, that the men and women in the government would have an awakening. If they don't know Jesus, that they would bow their knee to Jesus Christ and be born again. Awake to righteousness, the word says, and sin not. And for those that are believers within the government, we pray for them right now and pray that they would have the boldness to stand up in the face of all the opposition, in the face of all the mockery and the labeling that has gone on about Christians in politics. Lord, I hold them up and I pray that your presence is seen in your people in the government. And that even those hardened individuals that claim to not even want anything to do with the Lord would be drawn, not even knowing why, drawn to the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of your men and women in our Senate, in the Congress, Lord God, in other positions in the government, in the judicial system. I pray right now in Jesus' name that they would turn from ways of compromise and turn to serve you. Repent. And be revived in the faith that they once knew. I thank you for that. I thank you for the witness of godliness in the men and women that are outspoken about their Christianity, staying strong and walking the walk and not just talking the talk. I thank you for it. I thank you and praise you for health for all these men and women. And Lord God, I want peace in our government. I want peace in this nation. I know that's what you want. But Father, we will stand on the Constitution that has been ratified. It's ratified, it is sealed, it is a document that is in place and has endured generation upon generation. And it will endure in future generations as well. We thank you this day for this country getting back to being strictly a constitutional republic. And those that are trying to sow discord, as you said, you hate that, Lord God. You hate hands that, or people that sow discord, you hate that. You hate hands that shed innocent blood, all in the sixth chapter, I believe it's sixth of Proverbs, that you hate that, a proud look, whispering, trying to cause division. There's a whole lot of that going on. We're not going to be party to it. We stand in agreement with your word. We stand in agreement with your word, Father God, regarding leadership. And we pray peace over the president, the vice president, all the Congress, all the Senate, all the judicial branch, that they all would recognize the separation of powers and stop trying to usurp authority that's not theirs and take authority that's not theirs. In the name of Jesus, we speak this, Lord God. We believe for a powerful change in Washington beginning as this church stands in agreement with the word. We choose sides, and we're on your side, Lord. We choose you. And we reject anything that runs contrary to your word in the name of Jesus. And we will walk in love toward those that we oppose politically, oppose ideology, those that are saying and doing things and pushing for ideas and concepts that run contrary to your word. Lord, we'll walk in love toward them. We will not agree with them, but we will love them. And we'll do no harm to them. We will stand in the gap for them in the name of Jesus. So thank you for protecting us here in Oklahoma and taking care of all of our brothers and sisters out there, Lord God. All the others that are trusting you no matter where they're at, we thank you that you never leave and never forsake your people. You're always there with us, and we bless you and praise you for that. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he never leaves nor forsakes us. So we thank you for it. Thank you for getting us through this patch of uneasiness. But we'll continue to stand in faith and not waver in Jesus' name. If y'all can agree, say amen. Amen, amen and amen.